The message this week is titled, Don't Judge Others. The scripture reading is Romans 14, 1-4. Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall. And they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. All of us, each one of us, we've done things we shouldn't have done. We've said things we shouldn't have said. We've thought things we shouldn't have thought. So why would we judge others? Why are we so critical of others when we have messed up? Why do we judge others? Why do we talk to others about a person who may have got off track instead of coming alongside that person and gently bringing them back instead of talking behind their backs? Jesus made it absolutely clear, do not judge. So I want to spend just a couple of minutes today talking about that and looking at some of the scriptures, some of the things Jesus said, some of the things the Apostle Paul said. And it's very, very clear that we belong to a family of God worldwide and that we're part of this family that started back in the first century. Started back at the beginning of all creation. We're part of this family. And what can we do to be an encouragement to others and stay away from judging? Well, the Apostle Paul talks about this. He writes in the book of Romans, and Romans is a unique book because he's not talking to a church at Rome. If you know, when you read Romans chapter 16, Rome had multiple house churches, small groups, if you will. And he's writing to all of these people. And one of the first things that he says, and he's a constant in reminding the Romans of this, love one another, build each other up, but stay away from being critical and stay away from judging. So I want to spend some time just looking at some of these scriptures. And of course, notice what Jesus has to say about this. But in Romans chapter 14, in verse 1, Paul says, accept the person whose faith is weak without passing judgment, especially on disputable matters. And so also in chapter 2 of Romans, in verses 1 through 3, Paul uses the word judgment many, many times. But here's what he says. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. I don't know about you, but that's powerful language. If we judge others, judgment comes back to us. It can become a lifestyle. And Jesus made it clear when Jesus came into adulthood, if you will, and he started preaching on a full-time basis, he saw that the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were all very critical, not only of Jesus and his disciples, but of people in general. Religion for them was so honorable that everything had to be done perfect. The only problem was nobody could be perfect. And so judgment was part of their lifestyle. And so Jesus, at this great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, talks about judgment, and Paul and other writers pick up on this later. But in in Matthew chapter 7, here's what Jesus says. And just notice how brilliant and precise Jesus talks about this. He says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." That's it. End of story. Do not judge. If you judge, you will be judged. So don't do it, is what Jesus said. And we would agree with that. But when Jesus is saying these things, he's talking to people where judgments were made all the time. What you can eat, what you can drink, what you can wear, what you can't wear, all the legalities of the law, you had to judge every minute of the day. Jesus comes along and says, no, do not judge. And I was thinking about it this week. How often in a given day do we make a judgment on someone or something? So here's what Jesus says. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, the measure you judgment, that measure will come back to you. Strong words by Jesus. And then I think Jesus adds a little bit of levity to this when he says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? And then Jesus gets very strong in his language. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. A very gentle teaching, a very gentle example. And so this teaching of Jesus is very strong, and Paul picks up on this in much of his teaching. In Romans chapter 14, as we've talked about just a little bit, where he says, accept those whose faith is weak without passing judgment on them. And in chapter 2, he reminds us of all of this. And then let me just add this, that Paul's background, you know, before he was Paul, being Saul, was very judgmental. And then he himself becomes a Christian and reminds people, do not judge. Well, I have a very brief lesson today, and that's pretty well it. So you may be asking, why are we talking about this? Is there some personal problems going on in your friends or whatever? No, it's not that at all. What's interesting is at this time and date, churches have now been given permission by those in charge, if you will, to return to church. And some congregations are making decisions about, okay, well, how do you feel about this? And right now, because it's very, very early, some people are really excited about getting back to church. Going to be with my friends. It's going to be the same. But no, it's right now not going to be the same. If we come back to church, there are some requirements that have to be followed. And those who are responsible for that congregation, whether it be a board or elders, have to make decisions about how all of that's going to work and doing what's right as far as the law is concerned. And there are other congregations, sister congregations, if you will, who are just being told, and people are agreeing with, not just yet. There's too many hoops to jump through, too many things that we have to do. I'm not really comfortable with that. People are having to make a decision. What do we do about this? So if you're a person who feels very strongly, because maybe all of your life you've been told if those doors are open, you're going to be there. That's the way it should be. How do you feel about that? If others make a decision that's different than that, they don't have less faith. They love God. They love Jesus. They love the Spirit. They love the church. but they're not quite ready to do that. What if churches make decisions to say, we are now going to be open, and other churches are saying, no, we're not going to be open? Do we judge one another? And the answer is no. We don't judge one another. We lift each other up. So some of you may know Jason Locke, who is an outstanding minister in California. For those of us who like to attend the Bible lectures at Pepperdine, Jason was a frequent lecturer. And he wrote this wonderful article in Wineskins magazine, or wineskins.org, wonderful Christian periodical, and it's great writing. And he talks about this. And the heading of his article is Romans 14 and judging others, ... as they reopen or don't open the doors for fellowship. And it's a wonderful article. It's brief. And I'll just read it to you if you haven't heard it already. Here's what he says. I wish judging wasn't such a big thing, especially in the church. But it is. It's human nature to compare. People judge other people. Some ministers judge other ministers. Some churches judge other churches. The kingdom of heaven is a world without this kind of judging, or at least it should be. We live among the kingdoms of this world, and those kingdoms are filled with competition and appraisal, along with feelings of inferiority and or superiority. But it was John who wrote, we know that we are God's children and the whole world lies under the power of the evil one, 1 John 5:19. And Jason says, the church is the first fruit of God's creation. Too often, however, the church lives according to the priorities of the world rather than that of Eden. From the very beginning, God did not want judgment. If only Christians lived with the contentment of God's coming kingdom rather than competition, judgmentalism, or earthly kingdoms. And so this, Jason says, brings it back to the original point. As churches choose to reopen or stay closed after the virus lockdown, it's natural to look around and see that one's neighboring and comparable, maybe even sister churches elsewhere, are doing. It's human nature to contrast another's choices against one own. And this is not all bad. We need the advice and the counsel of others, not judgmentalism. We ought to learn in community and not just play this out as survival of the fittest. Noting variances is not sinful. Learning from others is outstanding. Judging differences is evil. We go back to what Jesus said, do not judge. One church may be filled with elderly, at-risk people. Their leadership might be comprised of medical personnel, scientists, or intellectuals. They might find themselves in one of the areas hardest hit by the pandemic. Their local leanings might push them to act in a way that's different than others. It needs to be a decision made by those leaders of the church. Another church may be filled with healthy, younger individuals who are tired of being kept apart, and their leadership may consist of folks who are listening, paying attention to the health expert, what's happening in their area. Their local learnings might push them to act in a way that suits their context, and it might be different than someone else. It must be a contextual decision made by that leadership, and we must not judge. Perhaps no passage speaks into this environment more than Romans chapter 14. The church in Rome was not just one single congregation. It was made up of many house churches. If you have time, just notice Romans chapter 16, the last chapter, and talks about all the members of the church who are meeting in people's homes. Paul's words of instruction in chapter 14 are not merely directed toward the behavior of individual believers within a single congregation, rather how they address varying congregations and varying decisions and how they can get along with one another. Paul's teaching ought to speak clearly right now, at this moment in time. Who would have thought 2,000 years ago, as Paul was maybe huddled in a room with a group of Christians, and they're making decisions, that what they're dealing with there is what we're dealing with now. How do we move forward? How do we do this? And you can see 2,000 years ago them discussing one another. How do we listen to the law, and how do we meet, and how do we do all of these things when right now it's difficult? So who are we to pass judgment on the servants of another? That's what Paul said. As they're trying to make decisions back there 2,000 years ago, we're trying to make decisions today. So what does Paul say about that? He says what Jesus said. Don't judge. When you hear that neighboring congregations are going to maybe do something different than we are, don't judge. Just don't judge. And then Paul says something that I think is brilliant. He says this. This is chapter 14 of Romans and verse 22. Whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. You may have a decision leaning in one way, but the leaders of the congregation in prayer and dialogue and conversation may be going a different way. We listen to them. You can have a personal belief and they can have a different understanding. It's all okay. We're here as a family of God. So in some places, it's essential to wear a mask. In other places, it isn't. Can Christians just rise above the level of God's kingdom, showing understanding and support for the decisions of others? And I'm really hopeful and prayerful, and I think it's happening, that the teachings from Jesus, the teachings of Paul, showing understanding and patience in these very troubled waters is happening. People are putting their best foot forward. People are listening to one another. People are caring for one another, knowing that down the road, we will be together again. And if one congregation is going to be meeting before our congregation or someone else's congregation, that's okay. Your prayer life can continue to grow. You can praise God wherever you are. Always, always, in conclusion, always remember the words of Jesus. I am always with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So what we can do in response to that, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. Love each other without judgment. May you have a wonderful, blessed week. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time.
To prepare for communion today, please take some quiet time to think about Jesus' love for each of us who have wandered far from God. After a few minutes, I'll read a simple prayer for the bread, followed by a similar one for the cup. Your body of life is broken for us. Thank you for your amazing grace. Your love and sacrifice are poured out for us. Thank you for your amazing grace. O God, our King, by the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, and his resurrection on the first day of the week, you conquered sin, put death to flight, and gave us the hope of everlasting life. Redeem all our days by this victory, forgive our sins, banish our fears, make us bold to praise you and to do your will, and strengthen us to wait for Christ's return. Through him we come to you. Amen.
Holy God, we are grateful for this avenue of prayer. We are in awe of your mercy and grace which surrounds us everywhere. We thank you. We're all feeling stressed and frustrated in the light of our situation with the virus, and it keeps us from our loved ones. We pray for those who are isolated from their loved ones, especially those of our group, and Debbie's mother, and Joe and John, Kathleen, Ralph and Joyce, Gloria's nephew and family, Laurie, those who are grieving, Wayne's family and Sam's loved ones, the Hannah family, Joanne and Diane's family and friends are all in our prayers. May your peace and comfort be theirs. Empower us to love as Christ loved us. We pray for a heart of compassion and understanding. Make us more aware of the needs of others, that we may be an encouragement through acts of goodness, and that we may reach out to meet the needs of others. In these uncertain times, may we be instruments of your peace. Use us to accomplish your purposes and display the love you have for all. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you to Don and Dave for their part in the service this week. Please pray for the leadership of our congregation as they consider how to best reopen our church building for in-person services. We'll continue to offer online recordings, and there are hundreds of past sermons available to stream or download anytime at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.